Welcome back. 3:50, 7:30 a.m., 102.9 FM, WTNT. Andy Parks, live from the Washington Times on this Thursday afternoon. I'm joined now by Rowan Scarborough. He's got a front page story in the Washington Times today. Libya timeline suggests cover-up in attack. Hello, Rowan. How are you?
Hey, Andy. I'm doing great.
Good. So all roads point to that conclusion, cover-up?
Well, I think when you add up the number of discrepancies and then look at the fact that there were no facts to support the statements that the administration was giving in the first couple of weeks, it certainly raises the specter that this was a deliberate attempt to cover up the fact that there was hardly any security at this consulate, and we must remember that this was happening, you know, less than 2 months before the election, which the White House was absolutely focused on. It's just difficult to believe that the administration could go out for 2 weeks and blame this on a demonstration that grew violent when there was no evidence that there was a demonstration. The on-the-ground reports the next 2 days with Libyans who lived in the neighborhood said there was no demonstration. And the State Department finally, on October 9th, does a background briefing with a few reporters and acknowledges that the security camera feed to the embassy shows nobody outside the walls of that consulate until 9:40 p.m. when the attack began. So there was no demonstration. And I think at the closed hearings today, Andy, that they're having the Intelligence Committee hearings, I'm sure senators are asking the intelligence community, you know, how did you briefly come up with this conclusion about a demonstration spurred by an anti-Islamic movie when there's no evidence there was a demonstration?
Yeah, I don't know about you, but I always show up at a spontaneous demonstration with an RPG set up in my trunk. You know,
standard operating procedure.
Yeah.
Yes. And you have some mortars on the side.
Yeah. I mean, you know, how do you hand this stuff out and expect the public to believe it? I guess you throw it up there and see what sticks?
Well, it didn't stick. So eventually they realized that this didn't stick.
Yeah.
And then the drum roll started in late September. Oh, this was terrorism. This was a planned attack. And but the problem is, as Republicans view this, Four Americans died.
Right.
They did not have to, because Benghazi had become a violent center for Islamists who were moving into what they saw as a power vacuum. There had been over a dozen attacks on Western targets, including the consulate, leading up to September 11th. You know, the administration says there was no actionable intelligence. Well, maybe there was not an intercept or a human source inside some militia group. But those attacks are intelligence. I mean, they're telling you that we're next. I mean, they did the Red Cross, they did the British Embassy, they did the consulate once and maybe twice. That's intelligence that tells you we need either more security in the consulate or we need to get out, like the Brits did. The Brits just got out.
Yeah.
You know, we don't have enough security to operate in this city.
Yeah. Now, today, I understand in the House Foreign Affairs Committee, tempers were flaring. Democrats accused Republicans of playing political football with a tragedy. And I find this so ironic because wasn't it the Democrats in the Obama campaign that kept spiking the football regarding the killing of Osama bin Laden?
Oh, you know, they ran on that issue. You know, bin Laden's dead, GM is alive. But, you know, some of the Republican anger over this goes back to Iraq and Bush lied, troops died. Remember that?
Yes, of course, of course.
It went on for 2 years when, in fact, the intelligence showed that there were still weapons of mass destruction in Iraq and it was not a politicized finding. And yet the Democrats accused Bush of deliberately lying on Iraq and that troops died as a result. So I think some of this is payback from Republicans. They remember that argument, and so, but they think they actually have a case here. I mean, they are listing the facts as we know them today and comparing them with what, you know, UN Ambassador Susan Rice said and what Jay Carney, the press secretary, said, and then comparing those and saying these are discrepancies. This is a conflict. you know, was there a cover-up?
Yeah. Did you find it weird, I mean, very strange yesterday that the president said that Susan Rice knew nothing about Benghazi, had nothing to do with Benghazi, but yet they sent her out to talk about it?
Well, it was the campaign season, and for some reason they decided for political purposes she was the best person to have out there. And I, you know, did Hillary Clinton want to come out at that point? I don't believe she did. And in fact, she's shunning these Benghazi hearings. She says she'll talk in December, you know, when their review report comes out. I mean, for some reason, politically, they decided she was the best person to do the Sunday talk shows. I mean, the problem is that what she, by the time she came out, Andy, we knew by then that this demonstration never happened. The DIA concluded, the Defense Intelligence Agency, they concluded the next day that it was a planned attack. The CIA station chief concluded the next day it was a militant group that did it. The eyewitnesses on the street said there was no demonstration. So to send her out at that late point and make that case on five shows, again, is potential evidence that there was an active cover-up going on. And again, what were they covering up? The fact that we denied security requests repeatedly for that consulate leading up to the attack. You know, in fact, in August, they took the last military security team out of the country despite protests from the leader of the team that the country is too violent and we need to stay. And if those teams had been kept in place in Tripoli, they could have been up to Benghazi in 50 minutes and used the might of their weapons and their vehicles to get to that consulate and to that CIA annex. These were Green Berets. These were not, you know, diplomatic security people. And they knew how to operate in that city, and the State Department pulled them out.
Yeah, and then Panetta comes out and says, hey, look, you know, we just don't go sending our guys in. Well, as it turned out, he couldn't have just sent those guys in because they had been yanked, right?
Well, not that he couldn't have sent anybody in because they didn't have any forces close enough to Benghazi to get there.
Yeah.
You know, he said originally, I don't send forces in when I don't know the intel.
Right.
He didn't have any forces. They were 17 hours away in Croatia and in this country. And by the time they got to Sicily, the annex had long been abandoned.
Yeah. All right. Now, I guess the question is, what happens next? We go through, tomorrow's going to be a closed-door session with Petraeus. Is that what I understand?
That's right. That's right. They're having closed-door today with the CIA and state leadership, and then Petraeus is going to come in. It's unclear where it's actually going to be, but it's going to probably be off-site to avoid, a big commotion.
All right. And will we get any information out of that, or will that be simply hush-hush?
Well, it's all classified. I mean, when Intel has a closed-door hearing, everything said in that room is classified. Now, the senators can come out afterwards and spin and talk in general terms about it. But in terms of the American people learning, hey, this is what they knew or this is what they have found out was wrong information, that's not going to be known until they have a public hearing. And go over the same thing with the same witnesses, but do it in an unclassified format. This is something Senator Chambliss has been pushing for, to have an open forum so the American people can, you know, learn the facts. And Democrat Dianne Feinstein at this point does not want an open hearing.
Yep.
So that's where we stand right now.
All right. Very good. Appreciate the update. We're going to continue to follow the story, and no doubt you and I will talk again.
Sounds good.
Take care, everyone.
So long.
Rowan Scarborough, Washington Times reporter. It is 3:59, 7:30 a.m., 102.9 FM, WTNT.